This is Brother Gino. I want to welcome each and every one of you today for the pastor study. It's certainly a blessing to have each and every one of you with me today. I hope all is well with you and your family, amen. And it's certainly a privilege to be with you. Last time we began and we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we started to go verse by verse, beginning in verse 35, and we're going to continue down to verse 58, the end of the chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 58, as a bit of a review, we saw that two questions that Paul asks about the resurrection. Amen? Now, the first question, and these two questions are found in verse 35. The first question is, how are the dead raised up? The second question is, with what body do they come up? Now, Paul answers the second question first, which is, with what body do they come up? And he answers that in verses 36 to 49. And then in verses 50 to 57, he answers the first question, which is, how are the dead raised up? And then finally, he gives in verse 58, the Corinthians an exhortation. So we started to look at those two questions. And we started to look at, with what body do they come up? And what Paul did was, he gives four examples to illustrate the difference between our bodies now and our bodies in the resurrection. The first one we looked at was the different bodies in nature. And the first one we looked at in verses 36 to 38 was the different bodies of grain. And then in verse 39, we looked at the different bodies of creatures. And then the third, we looked at the different bodies of celestial and terrestrial beings in verse 40 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now we want to pick up and we see the fourth one, amen, of the four different bodies of nature that Paul talks about in verse 41 is the different glories of the heavenly lights. The different glories of the heavenly lights. Verse 41 of 1 Corinthians 15, we read the following. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So we see the glories of the sun, the moon, and stars differ from each other. The sun and the stars are hydrogen and helium. Yet the sun lights the earth in the day, like Jesus is the light of the world. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 5, the Word of God says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to a race. Amen. Then in Malachi 4, verse 2, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the Word of God has this to say, for unto you that fear my name shall the sun a righteousness, and that word sun begins with a capital S, a sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, the Son of Righteousness is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 2, the words of Almighty God have this to say. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. Now, the moon, which typifies the church, lights the earth at night and follows the path of the sun and reflects the light of the sun, and it doesn't have its own light. Amen. And we read in the book of the Song of Solomon's, chapter 6, verse 10, the Word of God says, Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? And fair as the moon, amen. So we see then here in the Song of Solomon, the moon is representing the church. Amen. And the church is to reflect the light of the sun. Amen. Or the light of our Savior. Amen. The stars typify the angels, the sons of God. Amen. Now let's look at Job chapter 38, verse 7. We read this. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Again, a reference to the angels. And then Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Revelation 1:20. The words of Almighty God have this to say. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And then we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, Revelation 12, verse 4, And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Amen. And then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, Revelation 12:7, we read the following, And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Dragon, another word for the devil, for Satan, amen. So evidently in glory, we will replace the fallen angels, since we are the sons of God. Amen. We saw in Revelation 12 and 4 and 12 and 7 talking about the fallen angels. So evidently in glory, we will replace the fallen angels since we are now the sons of God. Amen. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, in verse number 12, we read this, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen and amen to that. And then in 1 John chapter 3, the first epistle of John chapter 3 and verse number 2, the words of Almighty God have this to say. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John wrote, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, all born again, blood-bought, children of God, we're the sons of God, amen. And we're replaced, those fallen angels who were once referred to as the sons of God. In our glories will differ depending on our rewards. In Romans chapter 8, verses 17 to 18, Romans 8, verses 17 and 18, the words of God have this to say. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. So our suffering for Christ now will affect the glory that we will receive, amen, when we get to heaven. And whatever we go down, whatever we experience here on earth, the suffering we go through for living for Christ is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that we're going to receive when we get to heaven. There's no comparison. It's far, a glory that we will receive for suffering for Christ down here will certainly outweigh whatever suffering we experience here as we live and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just temporary. Amen. We forget that sometimes, do we not? That our suffering and persecution that we go through as we try to live for God in this corrupt, wicked, evil world, that the glory we'll receive when we get to heaven is going to far outweigh what we're going on down here on this earth as we live for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we get into the different bodies in the resurrection. So, first of all, in verse number 52, verse number 42, in 1 Corinthians 15, let's read that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Amen. So our bodies are sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. So our bodies return to dust after they die. That's just a fact. Amen. It doesn't matter how hermetically sealed that casket may be that they put you in. Amen. You go in, you die, you return to dust. Amen. But the beautiful part is this. So we're sown in incorruption. We die, we're buried, we return to dust. But when we are raised, we will never die again. Amen. We will have a new glorified body like that, a resurrection body of Jesus Christ. So that's why you and I, as believers, do not have to fear death. Amen. I know it's a mystery. Amen. How it's going to take place, when it takes place, and when we go from life. Amen. And we pass over. Amen. But the thing to remember is we do not need to fear death, because we're just entering from this temporary life that we're living now to eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have no more aches and pains and diseases and along with that new body, that new nature, our minds will be clear. We won't have the prejudices and the things that we do and say as we do in this life. That's what we have to look forward to. Amen. And that's why we need to be better witnesses for the Lord and speak up for the Lord and witness for the Lord, because there are untold number of people dying every day and going to hell for time and eternity. And the Lord's return is coming soon. As we see all these things before our eyes that are taking place, not only in the world, but are in our own country, the bringing, hastening the return of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. Our focus needs to be to the things of heaven. We should be looking up, waiting for the shout, the trump of God, amen, when he says, come on up hither, amen. Then we see our bodies are sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Our bodies are sown in disorder and raised in glory. Look at verse number 43 with me. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Amen. There is no glorious way to die. Our bodies are vile and death is abhorrent. But when we are raised, we will come up with a glorified body fashioned like Jesus. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, the words of God say this, who, that's referring to Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body? Amen. That's a pretty strong word, vile. Disgusting body, full of sin and wickedness. Amen. So when people think about and they elevate man, and this country is very youth-oriented, and it elevates the body and the way someone looks. Amen. Remember, it's a vile body. That's what the Word of God says. It's a vile body. So who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? So that vile body of ours, that disgusting, sinful body, that weak body, will be changed and fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ resurrection body. Our bodies will be a glorious body. And then he goes on, he says, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. Praise the Lord. That's what our future is. That's what our future holds. Amen. The unsaved world is concerned about how much they have in the bank and in their retirement portfolio and all of this, so they have enough for retirement. But boy, we have a glorious future as a Bible, as a born-again child, blood-bought child of God. Amen. Then we also see in verse 43, we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, that our bodies are sown in weakness and rise in power. So what Paul is saying, we are weak. We are weak and have no power to stop death in our lives. No matter how many scientific breakthroughs they come up and medical procedures and drugs to extend our lives, we're going to eventually die, amen, unless the Lord comes back for us while we're still alive. But it's nothing you can stop death. Death has won all over the thousands of years here. Amen. The man has been on this earth. We haven't been able to stop death. Amen. But the beautiful thing is, but when we rise, death will be powerless against us. Amen. Death is defeated. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Now let's look at verses 44 to 49 in 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So, our bodies are natural. We are made living souls from the dust of the earth. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis 2, verse 7, the Word of God says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then Psalm 139, 15, Psalm 139, 15, the Word of God says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And right now we bear the image of Adam. Amen. In Genesis chapter 5, in verse number 3, Genesis 5, 3, the Word of God has this to say. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Amen. Adam was created in the image of God, but when he fell, he lost that image. And all those that come into this world now have the image of Adam. Amen. Now, when we rise from the dead, we will be spiritual like Jesus. And we will bear his heavenly image. So when we rise from the dead, we will be spiritual like Jesus and will bear his heavenly image. In John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 21, the words of God say this, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Amen to that. And then Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. Romans 8, verse 2, the Word of God says, for the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then in Romans 8, verse 11, the Word of God says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, amen. So there we have answered the second question. Amen. Which was, how are the dead raised up? Or, excuse me, no. We answered the second question that Paul raised in verse 35, which was, with what body do they come up? Amen. So now we turn our attention and answer the first question that Paul asked. And that is, how are the dead raised up? How are the dead raised up? Look in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, because it's a spiritual kingdom, and not a physical one, amen, we see in John 4, verse 23 to 24, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So we see that we can't inherit the kingdom of God in our mortal bodies of flesh and blood, because it's a spiritual kingdom and not a physical one. In Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, the Word of God says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. See, it's not a physical kingdom. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. It's a spiritual kingdom. Amen. And then in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, the Word of God says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. It's not a physical, it's a spiritual kingdom, and we have to be spiritually born again. Amen. You must be born again. You need a spiritual birth to be able to enter into that spiritual kingdom. Amen. Well, we're just about run out of time. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Until then, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.